What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook, and today I am doing an episode with my opener on tour, my dear friend, Tommy Brennan. He's so fantastic, and I feel just so lucky to have had him with me on tour this past year and a half, and he's also opening for me currently on the Nice Try Tour. So we talked about trying to establish a consistent daily routine as an adult. We talk about ADHD, time management, all sorts of things. And yeah, it was just a fun episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This is coming out in mid-February, which means I would have just been in Portland. I hope that was awesome. That's one of my favorite cities to perform in and one of my favorite comedy clubs. So I hope it was great. And that means that I've got so many other tour dates coming up. I will be in Cincinnati March 3rd through 4th, and then Kearney, Nebraska, March 10th through 11th, Minneapolis at Acme Comedy Company, March 22nd through the 25th, and then San Francisco, Rosemont, Chicago, Denver, Uncasville, Salt Lake City, Burbank, Phoenix, Dania Beach, Florida, Fort Collins, Louisville, Spokane, Tacoma, Cleveland, DC, Atlanta, Boston, and Tampa. That, as of right now, as I'm recording this, is the list of tour dates, but there might be more added. So go to, sorry, runny nose, go to kelseycook.com and get those tour date tickets. And yeah, I can't wait to see you guys on the road. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this interview with Tommy, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, I'm here with Tommy. How are you?
Hello, good. How are you?
I'm good. I am absolutely delighted to have you on.
I'm excited to do it. I'm, I was going to bring it up soon if you didn't ask me.
Were you really? Was it like worth risking the rest of touring together if I had been like, ew, he asked?
Yeah, I was thinking about saying it on stage, actually, at the last show we did together. Oh my God. I was going to promote the pod and then at the same time be like, but also she's never had me on it. So actually, I take it back. Don't listen to it.
Fuck that podcast.
Let your mental health go.
Let it run amok in the streets.
It would be so crazy if as your feature, I was like, hey, give it up if you listen to Self-Helpless. And then everyone would cheer and I'd be like, idiots.
Just so bitter about not being on the podcast. Yeah. Meanwhile, I've never even gotten an inkling from you that you wanted to be on. I'm like, what is going on?
That's the Midwestern in me. I just let it fester. And I just take it out as passive aggression.
Yeah. Okay, so you and I, when we're on the road together, I feel like a lot of the time our conversations could just be podcast episodes that would work for Self-Helpless.
True.
because you and I both, well, okay, we both have experiences with ADHD. Mine are more recent, where I feel like I relate to certain ADHD aspects more now than I have before in my life. And you, have you actually been diagnosed with ADHD?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And when did that happen for you?
When I was 22, right after school.
Okay. And was there an event that made you go, I think maybe I want to try and get some help for this? Or did you feel like it was something you'd been struggling with your whole life?
Yeah, it was more like through school, you find ways to like, you can just like you find ways to get around it. And it's like, you know, procrastination is really that's what it was. Okay. But like, that was the only way I would operate in school is like absolute deadline stuff. So I couldn't do, I was so bad at studying, so bad at like writing papers. Okay. So I always kind of knew there was, you know, I wasn't good at it, but then having to be in the professional workplace, that's when it stuck out to me that I was like, oh yeah, I really am not task oriented. I can't finish stuff and it's harder to get away with it in the, in a 9-to-5. So that's when I like revisited it and then figured that out.
Okay. And were there specific things of looking at your coworkers where you're like, that like they're just completing things on time and you were really struggling to on your own?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's, and also friends that were diagnosed and medicated like later in life and stuff that basically were narrating the same story that I had, you know?
Okay.
And so it was very obvious to me. I was like, oh yeah, this is adding up to maybe I should get some help.
Yeah. And did you feel like when you went to the doctor and were prescribed medication, do you feel like that helped?
It did. It helped especially with like work. Definitely doesn't help with like creativity shit though. Is like, it just depends. It honestly depends. Like if you know what you're like trying to write about or finish, then it's great. But in terms of like exploring new ideas and stuff, that's where I felt like it was limiting.
Oh,
so that's kind of the trade-off.
Interesting. So do you feel like when you were unmedicated, you felt like it was easier to be creative, but the Adderall...
It's the follow-through is tough there.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. But then,
so it's almost like you need phases of like unmedicated idea creation, medicated, you actually do the things.
It's so true. Cause it's like an assembly line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of jokes, it's kind of like a burrito at Chipotle. Like there are times, at least for me, I'm not somebody that really writes things on stage. I write them on paper and that requires just being really quiet. I mean, you're just by yourself in a room, essentially.
Yep.
It requires that really quiet focus, and that is excruciating sometimes.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And writing that, then like actually writing it out and stuff.
Yes.
That's a whole nother task.
Yeah. Then we're getting into like, what meat do you want?
Yeah, and yeah.
It's a lot. And so I just, I took a month off of being on stage. My tour wrapped, and then I just was like, I wasn't really doing many local shows, and I did one last night. And so for me, that was getting into the meat of, okay, now I wrote these jokes, but now I have to actually memorize them so I can go say them in front of people. And that also requires this other part of your brain to kick in. And it is hard.
For sure. Luckily, the memorization part, that's something that like early in my life, mm-hmm. I got like trained super hard on, because I started acting when I was like 8.
I
was like a big musical theater kid.
I feel like maybe I knew that part, but I don't think I knew that you started acting when you were 8.
Yeah, my sisters, I remember it so clearly. Like one day they were just like, we are auditioning for this community theater show, two of my older sisters, and my mom was like, you should too. And I really didn't want to, because, you know, it was like my friends were like, I was like, my friends are gonna think that's so lame,
right?
You know, all that. So we went, and but they made me go and do it,
mm-hmm.
and I sang a song from Newsies, I think, and
you
then. Oh, it was a musical, and then I got the lead in it, and my two other sisters also got it, and so we were in a play together, or in a musical together when I was in like third grade.
You got the lead on your first audition?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Got my first agent from that show. It was
what?
Yeah, it was very fun.
So you have a good voice.
It was better then, I think. I had like a.
You peaked at eight.
Yeah, I mean, my prepubescent voice was crazy. The range that I was hitting.
What?
I mean, oh, I was like a soprano. It was crazy.
Tiny Justin Bieber.
Yeah, legitimately, I sang a Justin Bieber song my freshman year for the high school talent show.
Shut up! Oh my
yeah,
god.
It. Which I'm mad that I just admitted that. We'll edit that out.
We will not edit that out.
We will not. On every podcast I ever do, I like to say, let's edit that out about every 8 minutes. it was crazy, and I caught the bug then, and then. Yeah, just did a bunch of musicals and stuff growing up. What's funny, though, looking back, I'm thinking about it now, that first show that I got the lead in, it was like a very comedic show. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was very punchline heavy. Like, even the songs that were like my solos were funny.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, you did get that bug young.
Yeah.
And so also, because the reason we were talking about that is you're saying you learned how to memorize young.
Yes. Yeah. So okay. That actually has never, as much as the ADHD stuff has been tough, mm-hmm. that has never been a part of it for me.
Interesting. Well, that's such a gift, because I do feel like people really struggle with that part of it sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I mean, I have some friends that can't memorize lines at all.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And that to me comes pretty easily, which is nice for auditions and stuff.
Yeah. Before we get into more of all of this, I want to ask you what your favorite quote is, because we always have our guests share that, and we usually do it at the very top, but I got excited and started asking you about other things.
I have a few cheesy ones, but I think the one that I always come back to is, it's an Avett Brothers line.
Okay.
It's in, Head Full of Doubt, Road Full of Promise. And it's just decide what to be and go be it.
I love that.
Yeah, that has like given me a lot of motivation at times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole song actually is like, there's a ton of lyrics in it that hit home hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's a darkness around me that's covered in light is a great lyric as well in that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's about like, you know, the people that often are coming off as bright and happy or whatever, there can be other stuff there.
Yeah.
And so that whole song, but decide what to be and go be it, is like something that has always just like, every time I hear it, I'm like, yes, just go do it. Because
yeah.
There's nothing I hate more than either about myself or friends when yeah. people really want to do something and convince themselves that they can't.
Yes. 100%. That's why I recommend The Artist's Way so much to people all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about it on the show or off the show, but it really does, just the specific exercises she recommends, it really does help you just to take that first step, because I feel like that's usually all people need to do, is at least get one step going. And I think if it's the right thing, it feels really easy. And then it's easy to take the next step and all of that. But people are so afraid to even take one step in that direction.
Yeah, and it's like, just what are you gonna? You're gonna be 80 and be like, I could have, you know, and that's
yeah,
like my biggest fear.
Me too. Yeah, that feeling was not a choice for me. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna feel that when I'm old. I do not. Yeah,
yes.
That scared the shit out of me. Your favorite quote is similar to my favorite quote, which is, "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've imagined."
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same intent for sure.
It's all Nikes, just do it. Just with
Yeah, it is. Also, my other one is a Gandalf line that's basically the same thing. It's like, all we can do is decide what to do with the time that's given to us.
Oh, that is very good.
And it's the same thing. It's like, you only have this one thing. Just go do what you want to do.
Yeah. Go do what you're supposed to do. I really do feel like we all have a thing that we are best at. And yeah, so many people don't pursue it because it's scary. And I, you know, I get it. It is scary, but.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrifying.
Fucking worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking about kind of like ADHD stuff. And that leads into one of the main things we wanted to talk about today, which is daily routine and basically having structure in your life as an adult. When even if you do work a kind of standard 8-to-5 job and you have structure in that way, I do feel like as adults outside of that, we struggle sometimes to get a consistent daily routine. And even more so if you're self-employed. So tell me what that has been like for you.
I mean, horrific. It's been so bad. It's been the bane of my existence for about 6 years.
Wow. Okay.
And maybe my whole life. I don't know. I've never been a good routine person.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. I mean, I will say, I just want to set expectations. By the end of this podcast, I expect to be cured and to have a great daily routine established.
Oh, no. You've never listened to the show then, have you?
Yeah, nope.
Totally not what we do on here.
I definitely have. Yeah, I have tried at points. I've made a very like pointed effort at times. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I lie to myself and say that I'm making an effort and I'm really not. But when I had the last time I had like a daily routine was before I started doing comedy, in like the 9 months after graduation that I had a day job, but I wasn't doing comedy.
Okay.
And it is kind of what led me to do comedy because I was so bored.
Okay.
But it was like I got good at like waking up at the exact same time every day, getting to the gym before work, going to work. And then, but then I was like, then I'm just coming home, making dinner, watching Netflix, going to bed, waking up, going to the gym, work. Dinner, bed, and then that actually made me kind of have a little bit of a breakdown.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, I need to be doing something else, and that's when I moved to Chicago and started doing comedy.
Wow, yeah, that Groundhog Day feeling is tough to find the balance with, of like needing structure and also not wanting to feel like you're not living.
Yeah, and so I never really equated those two until like recently when I was thinking about like. Why I haven't had a daily routine in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, comedy is definitely one of the things that make it's probably the hardest part about it because we don't have routine hours.
Yeah.
And yet we're trying to establish a daily routine. Yeah. And it's like, we don't even, none of our weeks look the same in terms of like where we physically are.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, I don't need to tell you about this. You travel, I don't know, what, 40 weekends out of last year?
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, so it's like when you're leaving on a Thursday and getting back like late Sunday, you only have Monday to Wednesday to try to get back into a routine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's killing me because some weeks I do it. And like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is like good structured days.
Yeah.
And then it just gets shot in the head on Thursday.
That's a great way to put it.
So I don't know how to. And then it's like some weeks I just come back and I fall out of it again.
Yeah.
And it's like those days that I'm like, wow, how's it 3 p.m.? I haven't done anything, you know?
I know.
So.
Yeah. It's so brutal. And it's a perfect way to put it that it's on a weekly basis. It's not even like on a monthly basis. It's truly every week. We are going to a different city. We might be there. I mean, some weekends you're performing Friday and Saturday. Some weekends you're performing Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
I feel like it can be hard to get a healthy workout and eating routine down because sometimes I come home and I'm like, well, I'm leaving in 48 hours. So am I really going to go to the grocery store and stock up, or am I just going to order takeout 2 days in a row because that seems like it would be easier? I don't want to just go buy groceries for them to all go bad, but then you're not really taking care of yourself.
No. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I do. I mean, I'm trying to get better because now I'm like, I don't have the day job anymore, so I also right. make way less money. So I am trying to be better about like the meal prepping thing, right. but that has resulted in the last 2 weeks of me just making chili and eating it every day. So
Tommy has been plagued by a chili saga that is now actually becoming part of his brand. It's like
my entire identity.
It's his entire identity. I feel like there's merch coming soon about it. But yeah,
homemade chili recipe.
Do you want to share what has happened for you with chili?
Yeah, it's honestly been the most fun thing. But it is a bit that I've committed to that now I am regretting. basically, like 3 weeks ago, I made a big pot of chili on a Sunday, and then I ate it every day that week, Monday through. I ate it Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, actually.
Jesus. And can you divulge if there were beans involved in this chili?
Oh, there were beans, cheese, chicken. It was this one too was like a particularly cheesy one. It was basically queso dip with that you eat with a spoon.
Oh my God. No.
Yeah, I know. I posted, well, so that's like that's the beauty of the internet is like we got to stop overthinking this thing. People want dumb content. Cause I mean, all I did was post to my story that I've eaten the same white chicken chili for 4 days straight. And I'm not kidding you, hundreds of messages, like just so many people hitting me up. They're concerned for me. They want more of it. They think they're sending me recipes. They want the recipe. Like I got a ton of messages that were just like, that looks so creamy. Like, how are you eating that?
Yeah, I am not envious of your roommate.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a fun bit. And then, so then I was like, I get back. So then we went to, was I with you that weekend? No, I was at a out of town like Friday, Saturday. I get back Sunday. Doubled down, made a fresh pot, did it again the next week.
What are you
doing?
And
now I post about something else. I could just be like, hey, I'm performing in Colorado, and people will just DM me and be like, did you find a good chili spot?
Oh my God. People do love to like latch on to a small random thing. That was like the peeing in the shower stuff for me.
Oh yeah.
That turned into the whole
Tinkle Gang.
It turned into merch temporarily. It's like crazy what people really love. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chili Gang merch coming soon. I'm just going to do the same logo as the Tinkle Gang ones, but it's going to be chili.
Yours is going to be Diaper Gang with the amount you're eating.
There it is. Yeah, it hasn't been good on the old body. It doesn't feel awesome. But I have been working out.
Okay.
Mostly just to justify the chili.
Sure. Balance out the queso.
Yeah. The second one, this last week was a sweet potato heavy one. So that one, it was a lot. I felt way healthier.
Okay, nice. A lot of fiber in there.
Yeah, the white queso one was tough.
Jesus.
It was very cream cheese based.
Oh my God. You are a Minnesota boy through and through.
Oh yes.
Like that's a very Minnesota tailgate move. Is like
that is
so cream cheese chili.
Oh yeah. Maybe throw that on top of a hot dog. Absolutely.
God, what is happening? I mean, to be honest, that sounds really good. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah. So that's that. That's my attempt at meal prepping so that I can have a daily routine. It's just eating the same thing every day for two meals a day.
That's such a funny juxtaposition because it comes into my TikTok feed all the time. These really health oriented girls who fully do like the week of prepping the meals, and it's always a lot of kale, a lot of sweet potatoes, a lot of chicken, and your version is like, let's make an industrial sized pot of chili.
Yes.
For 7 days.
I make enough to feed the whole family, but I do only provide for myself, so then I have to eat it.
I don't know if you are on dating apps, but I feel like that wouldn't be a bad not opening line, but like whatever the profile description is like, I make a mean pot of queso chili like can feed us for for weeks at a time.
I can either feed myself for 5 days or us both for 2.5.
Yeah, you are your own like meal. You're like your own HelloFresh.
I will say a lot of girls on Instagram have actually guys too, but have tried using it as like a pickup line.
Yes.
Like, they're like, let me make you chili. You need to make me some chili. All this. I mean, I'm like, it's what? So that we can both shit ourselves together? What are we talking about here?
People are just like trying so hard to get into your DMs.
You just latch. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You just, they pick a thing and they're like, this will be hilarious. I'm like, real original. Everyone's doing a chili bit now.
Oh my God. So funny. Yeah, this is also going to be a tangent, but it's been funny to watch like how women interact with you on the road compared to what you talk about on stage, because you make it very well known that you growing up were like what was the height? What was the growth spurt you had?
I was 5'3" as a senior in high school.
Oh my God.
And not an old looking 5'3".
No, you were a little cherub. You were.
Yeah. Like people legitimately, when I got to college, people thought I was like younger, like I maybe graduated high school early or something.
Yeah. It was almost like a medical condition.
Yeah. I thought it was. I thought I was never going to grow.
Yeah. You have posted, I think this was a while ago, but it was, you know, how parents frame their first grade, like the school picture day photos. And it was almost like a form of Benjamin Button disease, but where you just stayed the same age every year.
From about like third grade to junior year of high school, it looks like almost the same picture.
Yeah. So, yeah. And your dad's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever any, did he feel like there was a medical explanation of like why you were staying so young looking?
He didn't go through puberty. I mean, because I wasn't showing any signs of puberty yet. So it was like, we knew it was coming. Like, it was one thing if, like, I had already, like, gone through puberty kind of, but still looked that young, then it would be weird.
Okay.
But, like, nothing. Like, I still had a crazy high-pitched voice, like, no armpit hair. Like, I just, like, was, like, nothing was, nothing was starting.
Wow.
You know? Just, yeah. Just my balls were still inside my stomach, you know. it was like nothing was showing that I was anything older than 11 when I was like 17. Yeah. So that's where, like, and my dad was a late bloomer too, but he went through puberty like sophomore year of high school, and my brother was like sophomore junior year.
Okay.
So like freshman and sophomore year, I wasn't that worried because I was like, okay, it's in the family, like, sure. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen sophomore and junior year. And that's when I was like, okay, we got to do something here. And that's when I would, because I talk about this on stage, I was, like, truly begging my parents to put me on growth hormones, wow. Like steroids.
Right. Well, because what was that for you? What was that like for you with the opposite sex in high school? To be, you have a great line on stage about being the little spoon in your prom pose photo.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have some of the most embarrassing pictures of all time with girls that I thought I was flirting with, and in hindsight, I'm like, I mean, what was I like? There's this one picture that, I mean, this girl that I had such a huge crush on at the time, she's legitimately like in a full squat. Posing with me so that we can be like same face level. Oh. I mean, it is so funny thinking back. I think it was just like, yeah, I was like viewed as like a, you know, like a little brother,
yeah,
type. So, and it's not like, I don't know. I don't know how directly aware I was of it at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably I was like ignoring it a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. I just found other things to focus on. But yeah, I was not getting a ton of attention there.
And then when did you finally feel like you went through puberty?
Like end of senior year, like second half of senior year of high school into like college.
Wow.
It was like crazy.
So, did you feel actual physical pain of growth spurts? Like, did your height change? I mean, obviously, your height changed,
Yeah,
but.
like height changed pretty drastically. Like my senior year, I think I went from like 5'3" to 5'8".
Wow, in your senior year? Jeez.
And then by the time I was like home for Christmas, my freshman year of college, I was like 5'10" and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
In like 1 year, it was like 8 inches.
Jesus. So
Yeah.
what did that feel like though? Were you, was your body like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I definitely had like a brief little awkward lanky phase. And then but like I do remember like, yeah, like my feet always hurt. And like that was probably like growing pain stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was like all of a sudden it was fun because I was like, oh, I'm like a better athlete all of a sudden.
Yeah, no
You
shit. I
know?
mean, that's a major height change. With daily routine, have you found that figuring out the why behind what like what you're doing is something that helps you kind of figure out and motivate like, oh shit, this is something I need to stick to, as opposed to just like, oh, I should do this, I should do that.
No, and that's a very good point. I don't really think about that often.
Yeah.
I do. It's funny that I do in some aspects of my life, but I haven't really. I feel like it's way more on the side of, yeah, I really should be more structured. I should be going to the gym in the morning. I should be sitting down to write for these
Yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
But I don't often think about the why, and that is probably a huge piece of the motivation factor.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Did I talk about the Pomodoro technique with you in detail yet?
We talked about it a little bit on the phone, like
Okay.
last week.
Okay,
Yeah.
so that I think for me, and Delaney is she's such a, I don't know if pioneer is the right word, but she really has just made her life the way it works for her, and that's it. It's like she works a small number of days a week at very specific hours because she has realized for herself that these are the certain hours of the day where she's most productive in X way, and then these other hours are when she's most productive in Y way or whatever. So I think that's helpful too, is being like, okay, so when for me actually is a time that I feel motivated to do stuff, because I think a lot of people go, all right, I gotta start waking up at 7 and being somebody that goes to the gym first thing. But for
Yeah.
some people, it's like not what works for them. So do you feel like there are things that maybe make most sense for you?
Yeah. Like I the gym thing is honestly, that's why I keep calling it back up, is 'cause it's like that's oftentimes what does spark some daily routine for me if I can go in the morning.
Okay, yeah.
But the rest of my life doesn't agree with that. Like I am a night owl through and through.
Right.
So telling myself I should be at the gym at 8 a.m. is kind of setting myself up for failure. And that's something I talk about in therapy all the time, is like I will lie to myself and say I can do something when I really truly know that that's not how I work. And the gym first thing in the morning is something that I've been like, okay, that helped like these past 4 days, but now I'm traveling, now I have late gigs, you know.
Right.
I probably can't. That's probably not sustainable.
Right.
So I guess to answer the, like, what has helped?
Yeah.
My main thing is, like, I need to get out and do something by, like, 8 or 9 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a hard time, like, if I stay in my apartment, that's where it gets to, like, 11 o'clock or noon. And I'm like, I haven't really started my day. Like, I've just kind of done little things, maybe ate breakfast, you know. But, like, it's like, if I get out and, like, do something as little as taking a walk.
Yeah.
Then I can come back and then I'll do something for sure.
Oh, that's really interesting. Now, that's a great tip. Like, you feel like you almost need that physical, it like wakes your body up to leave the apartment and then it kind of gets you on track.
Yeah. I think it probably goes back to like having a corporate job and like having to commute to work and be out, like, no matter what happened the night before, no matter how tired I am, whether I slept for 5 hours or 10 hours, like, I had to be out the door by 8.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it kind of kicks you into gear a little bit. Over the pandemic, I think it broke a lot of people's routines.
Yes.
And one thing I started doing when I was working the remote corporate day job was, like, first meeting was at 9 every day. I just, over the last 2 years, I would wake up at 8, and then maybe 8:15, and maybe 8:30, 8:45, 8:58, you know, like, legitimately, like, waking up, opening my eyes, running over to my desk, opening my computer, and that's, like, a horrific way to start your day.
Holy shit.
Like, your brain hasn't processed a thought, and then you're on camera with, like, your boss. Like, it's it's so bad, right. And I think I realized that about a year or maybe like 6 months ago. And that's where I started. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I'm a huge daily walk guy. Like,
no, I don't think we have. I'm a big daily walk person too.
Yeah. I walk for about an hour to 2 hours most days. Cause okay, I'm a huge podcast person too.
Damn. I did not know that. I didn't know it was that long of a walk every day.
It's the only time I can think. I don't know why, but it's like, great. Yeah, I'll just wander around and, so I'm trying to make that my start to the day because I'm also a big coffee person. So you just kind of marry those and it's like a little treat. It's like a fun, you know, it's like, oh, get a nice coffee, little walk, podcast. Yeah. And that really helps. I just not having the structure. So I used to do that before my first meeting was of the day for the day job.
Okay.
So I knew, like, meetings at 9, I got to be out walking around by, like, 8, 8:15.
Yes. Yeah.
And now I don't have the day job anymore, so now it's easy to be like, well, I could just take my walk at, like, 10:30, 11, whatever, I'll snooze, you know?
Yep.
And, so it's really been interesting trying to establish it without the structure of the day job.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point that people were doing that in the pandemic suddenly, that even if somebody did have a structured 8 to 5, typically there was a period of time where we generally were all at home trying to navigate a new way of living. And I know that this became a pretty popular tip, was telling people, hey, try to wake up and change into work clothes.
Yeah.
Because when you're home, there is that ability to just stay in your pajamas the entire day.
Yep.
But that's not, it doesn't help kick your brain into the gear of, we need to actually focus and get work done. It kind of feels like just a nonstop slumber party.
Yeah.
And it's disorienting. It's like almost harder than to be restful at night as well, because you've kind of just stayed in rest mode the entire day.
And on the flip side, I think it makes it harder to feel like you're either starting or ending work.
Yes.
Because it's also important to be able to turn off at the end of the day.
Yes.
And when you no longer are differentiating what your work life and what your home life looks like,
yeah,
that it can like kind of break any like concept of like, all right, now I'm done with work. Because I was finding that too. Like, I used to leave the office at 6 p.m. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, I don't have to do anything else till like 8. So like I can kind of keep working.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if for people like us who have a different schedule every week, if there's a way to just simplify and be like, okay, sometimes we can't always count on that we're going to be waking up at the same time. Because if we are really going to bed at 3 in the morning,
It's like,
then
why would you wake up at 7?
why would you, like, you need to take care of yourself. You do need to prioritize sleep. But it's like maybe there are three things every day that signify that you are starting your day, and you just do those three things whenever it is that you wake up.
Yeah. I've always loved the idea of like daily intentions. Like when people say that they actually do that and like write stuff down, I'm like, that's so cool. I've never been able to do it. I think I've like done it 3 times. I'm like, that was cool. And then I just forget about it
That was
immediately.
cool. That was dope.
I'm like, that was a really good move by me. And then the next day, I was like, what did I forgot. What was I doing yesterday?
Who is that person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finding, and I don't know how relatable this will be for listeners, but social media has become such an important part of my career. And you are told that it is best to post generally between 9 a.m. and maybe 11. So for me, it has created some structure of like, I would like to be awake before that time and have my posts ready to go. But then the problem, and what happened today, is that then I am on the apps for like 30 to 45 minutes, posting everything, going back, seeing how they're performing, interacting, and then an hour is gone. But then I might have these other tasks that need to also get done in the morning. And then, like, full disclosure, Tommy and I were supposed to start podcasting 30 minutes before we actually started today, because I was like,
Oh, yeah.
fuck, like, I haven't had breakfast yet or showered yet or like made these three business calls I have to make. And so, I mean, it's so nice that it's you and I can be like, hey, do you mind? Is this okay with your schedule today? But generally, it's like, I have to figure out how to stop doing that. It's like I hit some structure, but then it becomes this time where time just goes in a way I can't hold on to it.
Yeah, it's also if you're only doing an hour on the apps after posting stuff, like that's pretty good because it can easily be way longer.
See, thank you.
On
That's
days that I post,
the thing.
I mean, my old partner at my day job used to joke about that. She's like, I can tell the days that you've posted a clip on Instagram. She's like, you're so much more distracted. You're so much less like responsive. And it is because you're going back and you're like, all right, let me respond to comments. Let me see how it's doing, you know? And yeah, it is that is brutal. But it's interesting to think of that as some of like the almost like corporate structure too, though.
It does. I really do make sure I am awake by, I mean, like 8:30 at the latest
Yeah.
to get those things posted. But when I say that I'm on the apps for an hour posting and interacting, whatever, it's not like that's my only hour of the day I'm on. I just then hop off
Yeah.
to podcast or do whatever else I have to do, but then I am back on it throughout the day to keep,
Yeah.
being an addict.
To just keep being fully addicted.
To keep the heroin going.
God.
I don't know. I feel like if there is a takeaway that we can both try to implement, because I feel like we're both struggling with the same thing in this aspect, it would be, I like your idea of that you always have your walk-in coffee. And yeah, I think I'm going to try to do that. Like, at least get my work clothes on in the morning, get out of pajamas, and like just get two or three things done always that signify to my brain that the day has started and I need to stay on track.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the classic, like make your bed every day too.
Oh yeah, I've always done that just because it's like a weird OCD
That's
thing.
so good. It's so healthy. It's so weird. In the times that I have gotten good at it and actually done it, like every day for a month or whatever, it's crazy how much better about myself I feel.
Really?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just because it's a little rem I don't remember who said this, but I've heard this a million times. But it is a little reminder every time you see it. It's like, oh yeah, I already did it, you know, like I kind of have my shit together.
An unmade bed makes me insane. Like, I
Yeah.
can't remember the last time I was doing that.
Like I know for a fact that I left LA, I don't know, 4 days ago, and I'm not back there till, you know, I don't know, 3-4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact I left my room really messy. And it's going to drive me insane when I get back there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I land at like 11 p.m. or midnight or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get there at 1. And it's going to be messy. And I'm going to be like, come on, get your life together. But I just didn't. I didn't do it. I know I didn't. And yeah. But if I had made it and it was a clean room and I'd made my bed, I'd get back. I would feel so much better.
Yeah.
So I do. I am trying to be better about that.
That does make sense.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax. The way car buying should be.
I just thought of two other things I wanted to ask you. Are you a minimalist, or do you feel like you're kind of do you like have a lot of possessions? Do you struggle with clutter, stuff like that?
Yes. It's so funny because in theory I like consider myself a minimalist. Like,
okay.
I think because we travel so much, you kind of have to become one. Like,
right.
You can't just bring, you know, your high school yearbook everywhere. So it's, yeah. but like,
yeah.
I do struggle with nostalgia. That's, I think of it like in terms of like hoarder or clutter or whatever, like,
yeah,
it's what gets me is if I have any memory attached to something, I cannot get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it helped moving across the country in just my car.
Yes.
I threw a ton of stuff out, but I still have too much stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say that helps me think if you are ever having trouble, like the way you say you're going to come back to your room and it's going to drive you crazy that it's messy. I have just found that by having like the bare minimum amount of items in my living space, it really does help to keep it so clean. I know that my place probably looks kind of messy in the background right now, but generally it's like
pretty put together.
Kind of, it's fairly orderly. Which I
like. You seem like an organized person.
I am. Yeah, I will say I am pretty type A through and through. I have like a social media calendar.
Whoa.
I was just talking with somebody about that yesterday, that I have like through the end of January, I have everything I'm posting on what days.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the clips already made?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, thanks. Well, I'm just recycling some right now because until our, you know, the Nice Try Tour starts, I won't have new clips.
New stuff to,
And so you and I have been talking lately about recycling and all of that. And so I just made an inventory of all of my clips and then I made a schedule because I was really stressing myself out where I would wake up and it would be time to post something and I wouldn't know what I was posting. And then it was just this panic of like, oh God, now I haven't posted in a week and now the algorithm's going to boot me out. And so I just sat down. So this is what made me want to ask you the other thing. The Pomodoro technique. Have you actually tried the Pomodoro technique yet?
No.
Okay. So
about it, no.
So it is where you have a task in mind and you set a timer for 25 minutes and you do that task for 25 minutes and then you take a break for 5.
Okay.
And then you do another 25 minutes. It can be the same task or if you finished it, you go on to another task. But you do that with the 5-minute break 4 times in a row and then you take a 30-minute break. And it's so it was like really helpful to me to show myself in reality how long tasks take when I'm focused.
Yeah.
Because it's like embarrassing how
quick it can be.
Oh my God. I like had these ideas in my head of, oh, it's going to take me hours to figure out how to like set all this up for social media. And it was like 1.5 Pomodoros.
Yeah. Like, it is crazy. I know. And it's always the tasks that end up like, you know, they're the ones right here that you're like, I'm going to do that. It's just they keep moving on to the next to-do list and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then those take, an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you, I think we've talked about this on the road, but with time blindness, because to me, the Pomodoro technique really goes hand in hand with people who struggle with time blindness and having trouble like being on time or... Just
never been
yourself...
on time to anything in my whole life.
Yeah, keeping never yourself once. On track. And I had started to do time journaling for maybe like a week or so where I would actually time myself to see how long things would take. And that was what had been fucking me up was in my mind. I thought I took like 5 minute showers. And I'm like...
No
who,
chance.
Who do you think you are, crazy person? It's like at least 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I do that with showering, too. That's so funny. I know I have to leave somewhere in 7 minutes, and I'll be like, I can shower and do my hair and get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's... And then I get out of the shower, and it's already past when I was supposed to leave. And I was like, oh, all right. I don't know what happened there. And I'm like blow-drying my hair. I'm like, this will all take 45 seconds.
Yeah, that's the one of the things with time blindness they say is the rule of one more thing that we always, there's always this thing where we're like, I bet I can do that. I bet I can just squeeze that one last thing in, and you never can.
Yeah.
You never can. Because then you run into like, you get in your car and you're like, oh, fuck, I need to get gas. And I forgot I have to get gas. Like, I'm always pushing it. And then there's always that one other thing that you didn't think of and it fucks you up.
Yep. Yeah.
So just getting the whole Pomodoro technique thing has really helped me feel like I'm in control of time as opposed to time controlling me. And I know I talked about that on the episode, but it has been very helpful. And I think Delaney's recommendation, which I need to start trying more, is Delaney just sets timers throughout her day. Not necessarily, I don't think necessarily for certain tasks. I think it's like she just has timers that force her to be like aware of the passage of time.
It's really, I mean, it's smart. That's some of the only times that I've like been able to just like write straight through for a while is when I set like 30 minute timers and then put my phone on the other side of the room. So I'm like kind of doing a similar thing. I just don't have the scheduled break then.
Yeah. And I find myself sometimes if I'm in a good writing flow, I will ignore the timer going off and just like finish my thought. But then I do try to let myself take a 5 minute break when I'm done with it. But it's being an adult is hard.
So brutal. It's being alive. There's so much stuff you have to deal with.
Yeah. It's kind of a miracle how many people actually do hold down jobs and
have
kids and take them to school on time and all this stuff because it's no one's making you. That's the thing is, especially when you're self-employed, there's so little accountability.
Yeah, my first week without the corporate job was like, I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, it was because it was like, no one's telling me to.
Right, right.
And it feels very odd. And then it did, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I get that anxiety creeping up and I'm like, why do I feel so bad? And it's like, oh, I just haven't done anything productive in like 2 weeks.
Right.
And then, And then it kind of kicks me into gear, but yeah.
And just for our listeners, so you and I met through Cameo.
Yeah.
Which is the app where people can pay public figures to send them personal.
You could use the term celebrity.
I don't like
that. You didn't want to. I saw you decide not to.
Yeah, I didn't want to. It feels gross. You can pay them to make video messages for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's
and I worked there for like 3 years.
So you worked there for 3 years. And that's how you and I met. We had a little Zoom meeting in the bowels of the pandemic.
The heart of the pandemic. I was up in northern Minnesota in a cabin just that's working my little corporate day job. And that was when the walks started.
Oh, nice.
Because I was like, I need some sort of, I can't wake up with the sun down and go to bed with the sun down and not see it. So it was like, it was just getting out there and walking around.
Yeah.
And then back into the cabin. Crazy beard. And that's where we met.
That is where we met. And then you opened for me.
What was a DC.
Year? In DC. Was that like a year later?
Yeah.
About a year later. And just did such a killer job and just were the best hang. And now it's been, what, over a year?
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago now, that DC one.
Was it?
I think that was the fall of 20. No, it couldn't have been 2020.
No, it had to be 2020. So it's been like.
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half. Yeah.
And it's just been the absolute best. And this has been so fun to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I hope there were some takeaways.
Absolutely.
And not just like, wow, man, Tommy needs to get his life together.
No, I think if anything, it's just sometimes, and I can't speak for our listeners, but sometimes it's just nice to hear that somebody's going through the same thing that you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are, call in. If you've got suggestions, anything, I'll take them.
Chili recipes.
Oh, please send the chili recipes my way. I'll make it soon.
Yeah.
And report back.
By the way, before we go, did you want to talk about your name change stuff? Do you think that that's something that has any, I don't know, people like?
I mean, it was anxiety inducing. I'll tell you that.
Like, sure. Okay.
It was, for context for everyone, my real last name is Schneeman, actually, but no one ever says it right. Mm-hmm. And no one could ever spell it right, say it right, anything. And my middle name is Brennan. And now I go by Tommy Brennan on stage and in public. And yeah, it's been brutal. I mean, my parents had their holiday party last night. That's why I flew home for it. And I mean, all my parents' friends and stuff, they're like, what the hell is this name change?
Really?
People don't like it. It's just like it's everyone that knows me and was friends with me, when I asked them about it, they're like, no, don't change it. And then everyone that was like objective, like not really friends with me,
yeah,
was like, yeah, change it. It's just everyone is like, you know, people like doing the, oh, you moved to LA, changed your name, you went all Hollywood on us. I'm like, no, I probably should have done this a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you feel about it now? Because I know for a while it was, yeah, definitely something that was anxiety inducing and understandably, because it's your name. I mean, it is easy to have feelings of identity crisis when you're like, oh, yeah. I'm going by a completely different name now.
It feels much better now. I mean, I had one of my friends kind of like talked me into just like, she was like, you need to stop. Cause I called her and I was just like, yeah, I'm thinking about going back to Schneeman. And she eventually was just like, you just need to say it confidently. Cause what I was doing is like, when people would ask like, oh, did you change your name? I'd be like, yeah, and it's, you know, I don't know how I feel about it, and I'm, you know, and then that would, all that does is invite them to share their opinion,
right?
Which wasn't helping. I didn't need more opinions on it. So then I'm just getting people that I don't really care about, like, sharing opinions on it, and then I'm letting that, you know, contribute to my thoughts. And it was just like, she was just like, hey, you need to just be confident when you say it. So that has helped so much, is me just being like, yeah, I changed this, my middle name, I like it a lot better. And people are like, oh, cool. It's amazing how little people care. And yes. I really thought that they would.
I'm really happy actually that you had that life lesson on this particular issue, because I think you will find that that lesson will be applicable to you in so many other ways in this business.
Everywhere. Yeah.
And even outside this business, I just think that's a great lesson for anybody, especially people who struggle with anxiety or like wanting the approval of others.
Yes.
Which is something I have struggled with for so much of my life. And I had a lot of situations like that where I, because I hadn't given myself approval on whatever it was, if it was something I was like, oh, I don't know if I did a good enough job with this. So I'm just going to like find ways to bring it up around people and see what they think of it.
Yes.
And then if they were critical, it would destroy me.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't established any foundation of confidence in myself. It was just like, it was like on a hour by hour basis. I would call a friend and talk about it, and I would let their opinion make me feel one way for an hour. And then if somebody else had a different opinion, I would feel that way for an hour. And it was an absolute nightmare. And so now I'm really protective with what I choose to talk about with people, if it's something I feel sensitive about and like don't want an opinion that's gonna feel not great. But I also am just like, you have to have the confidence for yourself and not let other people be your life raft for confidence.
Yeah, I mean, think about something as little like in it being self-employed, you have to ask people about money all the time.
And I
struggle with that so much of like, you know, you get offered a gig or something and I'm like, hey, I'm really, really sorry to ask this, but what does it pay? You know, and it's like, why is that an apology? Right. You know? Right. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a stupid idiot piece of shit. But, you know, like, is there a hotel included? Like, it's like a very basic, if I was just like, hey, what's your pay structure? And is there a hotel included? You know? Yeah. And instead, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yes. Oh, my God. And always valuing yourself highly, which I think can be applied in a lot of careers and stuff like that. But I remember I got offered a corporate gig in Spokane from a company, and it was like an architecture firm, and I didn't really know what to price myself at. This was before I had an agent, and I lowballed the absolute fuck out of myself, and the guy wrote back and he was like, oh, I'd pay you that to come over and cook for me. Like, he, like, made some joke about, like, I would pay you that just to, like, hang out
like
with you.
To do nothing.
To do nothing. And I was like, God, I'm Like, I could have asked for 10 times what I asked. And they would have been like, sure.
Yeah. It's amazing how little confidence we have.
Yeah. And how that informs so many of
it's
our
everything
interactions.
In your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one. Well, this has just been a treat. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is fun.
You want to plug where everybody can find you?
I'm Some Kid Tommy on all the social medias. And somekidtommy.com for upcoming tour dates with the one and only Kelsey Cook. That's most of them.
Yay.
But I've got my stuff on there. Like I've got some headlining weekends in the spring too, and if you want to come out and see me talk about chili on stage,
that's
where to find it. somekidtommy.com. Thank you to everyone for listening.
Yeah,
I love you guys.
Well, I'm sure they love you too.
And I don't know why I said I love you. I don't know them, but I'm gonna lead with love here.
Okay, great. I'll probably talk to you in, I don't know, 2 hours.
Yeah, probably. All right.
Okay.
Bye, Kels.
Bye. All right, that was my interview with Tommy. Please go follow him at SomeKidTommy on all social media platforms. And some of you might have already met Tommy on tour if you came out and saw us at any previous tour date. And if we're coming to a city near you, you can meet him then. So we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Kate. It says, just do it. If you're reading the reviews to see if you want to start listening, I'm going to save you some time and tell you that you should listen. Do it. Thank you, Kate. That's so nice. That kind of piggybacks on all of the quotables we were talking about today, to just do it. So we really appreciate you taking the time to leave a 5-star rating and review. And that way you can also potentially have your review read on the show, which is always fun. And if you would like any more bonus content from us, if you want to be a part of the group that gets to vote on what topics we cover on the show and listen to a lot of bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join the Patreon community. My segment for today is going to be a recommendation, and that is the show White Lotus. We're recording this in mid-December, which means that season 2 came out pretty recently, and I'm sure by the time this hits in February, a lot of you may have already watched it by then, but some of you might not have, because I I had heard some buzz about White Lotus season one when it came out, and I just didn't hop on the train. I never checked it out. I do feel like the marketing for the show has always been a little vague, a little unclear, you know, of like what the show is about. But oh my God, it's so good. It sucks you in immediately. Just like opening scene, you're like, I have to see where this goes. And the first season is only 6 episodes, so you can really fly through it. And then season 2, which I just started, is 7 episodes. So it's an easy, quick binge, and I've just absolutely loved it. So highly recommend. Check it out if you want. I think it's on HBO Max. And yeah, that's it for this week. I hope you guys liked getting to know Tommy a little bit more, and see you guys in Cincinnati in a couple weeks. Kearney, Minneapolis, San Francisco, all coming up. Go to kelseycook.com and get those tour date tickets. And we will talk to you guys next week. I hope you have an awesome week. All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast so we can repost you and say thank you.